We do have a quorum. Do we have any public comments?
Yes.
Secretary?
We have Laura Booth first.
Yes.
Speaking on what?
On books not yet purchased.
Yes.
Four.
Books not purchased.
Books not yet purchased.
Put it under old business, you can put it under anything you want on there.
No, it's supposed to be on this agenda.
The item wasn't next to the sheet, so I think everyone just kind of did the best they can remembering what was on the agenda.
Right.
Well, go ahead, Laura.
Thank you.
Just a minute. Okay, yes, please start.
Thank you. My name is Laura Booth. I live in Fort Mill. And I'm here to read a statement from an author of a book that has not yet been purchased since November of 2024. This is the author's statement. Dear York County Library Board, I am the author of All the In-Between, a middle grade novel which has received repeated praise by the American Booksellers Association and a book list starred review. It has been brought to my attention that your board has removed my novel from the county library purchase list due to questionable content. What specifically makes a novel questionable? And how can the board objectively measure the nature of my novel if they have not themselves read it? Unless the board plans explicitly to define the objective measure used to determine questionable material, how All the In-Between fails to, as a whole text, meet appropriate standards and produce a plan to evaluate all titles within the county's library system and hold them to the same standards, then I assume that its exclusion is the result of this novel featuring a transgender character. The stated mission of your library system is to enrich and sustain the lives of the people of York County by providing library services that meet their informational, recreational, and lifelong learning needs. By your own standards, All the In-Between is an excellent asset for sustaining the lives of LGBTQ individuals in your community, our community, as well as enriching the lives of those who seek to understand their experience. It offers insight into the ways we navigate overcoming our differences and participating in supportive communities. It is not the place of the library board to subjectively dictate the content their libraries offers. Allow librarians, parents, and young people to make these choices for themselves or be upfront with your intentions.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Laura Cato, budget?
Sure. My name is Laura Cato. I'm a resident of Fort Mill, a mother, and an avid reader. I would like to address the budget discussion at last month's meeting, specifically the motion that Terry made regarding a community needs assessment. I was disappointed that this motion wasn't even discussed. When strategic plans are being made for a community or a community organization, it is standard practice to solicit community feedback. Multiple avenues should be provided, such as open houses, written surveys, and online surveys. In fact, Fort Mill just hosted an open house asking for community feedback about their strategic plan last night. I had the privilege of attending this open house where I had the opportunity to speak with the mayor. She was thrilled to learn that we are seeking bigger, better libraries for our county. It turns out she has the same goal. Citizens looking to reduce the library through budget cuts or banning books are a small minority. On March 24th, 2022, the ALL released survey data regarding how voters feel about libraries. Voters across the political spectrum have a keen sense of the importance of public libraries. 95% of Democrats, 78% of Independents, and 87% of Republicans all believe that libraries are vital and important. York County residents want bigger, better libraries. We want all services to be fully funded and expanded, allowing seven people to decide what is needed out of over 300,000 people in the county, without the guidance of a formal community assessment is unprofessional. A reminder that you are managing tax dollars, not your personal business. Libraries are bipartisan, integral part of the community. Set aside your personal political agenda and do what's best for our county's libraries.
Thank you.
Lacey Lane, budget.
That's me. My name is Lacey Lane of Fort Mill. I'm a mother of two, educator of 16 years, and a library patron and supporter. I'm here to ask that the board include a formal community needs assessment in the library budget. At the March 2025 board meeting last month, Tim Steele declared that the library board, quote, already knows what is needed in response to a motion to have unused library funds reallocated to fund a community needs assessment. The fact that the board didn't even entertain a discussion about this important and incredibly disappointed, important mission. Unless Tim and the other handpicked YCGOP board members have some type of crystal ball, I just don't understand how you just know what's needed. I agree with Tim that expansion is indeed needed, and I would add it is long overdue. However, we need data to inform decision making to ensure that taxpayer funds are used in targeted and effective ways, including identifying space requirements, program needs, demographic trends, community priorities, forecasting future growth, and informing branch locations. This assessment opposition is not new. At the March 2024 board meeting last year, Dennis Getter and Tim Steele shared that the York County Council, quote, does not have an appetite for expansion, and therefore were not in favor of spending money to have a community needs assessment done. Dennis stated that we have smart librarians and they know which programs are popular, which I agree with Dennis. We have incredibly smart librarians who are experts in their field, which includes book selection and which sections of the libraries those books should be in. What I disagree with is that even the smartest librarian cannot understand with complete accuracy the specific needs and preferences of patrons countywide without a formal community needs assessment. So ask yourself this question, board members. Do York County taxpayers prefer to fund a community needs assessment or a lawsuit defense? I would encourage this board to read up on the lawsuit that library patrons, with the help of my friends at ACLUSC, recently brought against Greenville County over widespread removal and restrictions of LGBTQ books. Considering that this board is composed of York County GOP leadership or their spouses, such lawsuits may be in the future for York County. The soft censorship that has already occurred due to the harmful moratorium that this board put in place and the York County GOP's public and private declarations of their wishes to remove diverse and inclusive books from our library shelves lets us, the community, know that we are on a dangerous and costly path of destruction, not progress for our libraries.
You're done.
Yeah, and your county deserves better.
Two things there. Let me just make a comment. First of all, it is not appropriate or allowed to use people's names in these requests.
Where is that stated, sir?
And making threats is not allowed either. So just wanted to get that out there.
I'll be sure to send you the link of the ACLUSC who addressed the county
next,
council.
Please. Is there another person?
Yes, Barbara, how do you pronounce that? Is it
Barbara, are you for or get something on
I'm against
table?
Old business.
Okay,
that's the
we've
only
already
one
had,
that I can do.
We've already had three against, so that's the limit. If there's
Stephanie,
she didn't have the agenda, so she couldn't pick the proper
okay,
item. Could you show her the
been
agenda?
Three against, so
I'm not
that's
against
it.
The budget. I'm not talking about the budget.
That
it doesn't matter.
You guys have a disclaimer on your agenda.
Yes.
You have four things on your agenda. That means three people for every single item. That is exactly
no,
how it's written.
That is not correct.
Yes, it
if
is.
You
it's
read
three,
at the bottom
four
of the
agents.
Library
that's what I'm
agenda.
Referring to, the bottom of the of
yes.
the library agenda. It,
it
is
says,
three comments for each item on the agenda. There are four items on your agenda. You have old business, you have reports, you have budgets. That is how it goes. If you're going to change that, you need to put it on there so that we know in advance.
There, it says at the bottom, there is a maximum of six speakers at any board meeting, three for and three against.
Any agenda items? Can you read the rest of the statement?
Is there anybody else that would like to speak?
I have Stephanie Griffith on here, but again, it says all business against.
Okay. All right, we're done with public comments.
That's good.
That's
it?
Cute.
Oh, wonderful.
Approval of the
wow.
minutes.
That's going
down.
I'm at County Council.
Do we approve?
Okay, we have a motion to approve. Do I have a second?
Do.
Is there a second for the approval of the minutes?
Can I second?
Yes.
Okay, I will second.
Okay. Okay, Dennis approves. Carol seconded. All in favor, raise your hand. Okay, we've got that.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. reports. Director.
Thank you. As always, we have statistics if you'd like to review them. If you have questions, let me know. My only point of note would say that our new YCL app is up to 1,261 users. This is our third month of implementation, so we're quite pleased about that. It is National Library Week, and Tuesday was National Library Workers Day, and Wednesday was our outreach and bookmobile celebration. On Tuesday, I made the round to all the branches and got to see people, and we dropped off some cookies and a t-shirt, just to express, you know, the staff of this organization is so professional and so hardworking, and they have such great relationships with the community. I mean, I couldn't be more proud to be working with all of them, so it was really great to go out and just say thank you, everybody. In the branches, our outreach to our community itself involves, and I'm going to give each one of you this, when you go to the library to check out a book, you get a little package of our appreciation of you using the library. And one other thing that we did was the theme is what's the draw, and we have a little survey that we've asked people to fill out if they feel like it. And it says, circle what draws you to the York County Library. Is it the virtual library, genealogy, homework help, so on and so forth. So we look forward to the results of this informal survey very soon. I have just a quick facilities update for you. We've gotten the parking lot at Fort Mill repaired, and the pipe that had tree roots growing into it and then catching things also at Fort Mill, we have taken care of that and repaired that. So it's boring but extremely important facilities maintenance issues that we were able to take care of. We are experiencing a current issue at Rock Hill with the cooling tower, where a pipe has broken, and we have put a Band-Aid on it, not literally, but you know what I'm saying. We've tidied it up. Our building superintendent has fixed it until we can get a company in. So it was very hot the other day, but staff hung in there until closing. And that's sort of the facilities update. I have a very exciting, go ahead, well, before I move to the most exciting part of my report.
So I noticed that the virtual programs have kind of dropped to zero. Is just strategically doing something different?
It's so cyclical. It really is. How we work the virtual programs is every branch is responsible for putting up one video for every age group per month. And it's really, if it's of interest to the people who are looking for that programming. So
you're still doing it?
We're still doing it. Yeah. We're still doing it. And, you know, it comes and goes. Sometimes it's really popular and it's 100 people that visit, and sometimes it's just a couple hits. I would like to introduce thank you for suggesting it, Carol, a library spotlight part of my director's report. It won't be more than 10 minutes. I'm going to have library staff come in and talk about what their successes are or what they're proud of, the types of programs that they're doing, just to share with all of you. And first up, our inaugural presenter is Ray LeBourne, who is our branch manager at Lake Wylie. Please, take it away.
Okay, I have it on computer, but I never trust the tech, so I brought paper too, so if any of you are interested, there's copies of my slides. All right, so as Julie said, I am Ray. I am the branch manager at Lake Wylie. I'm going to give you a quick snapshot of what's been going on at Lake Wylie and some things that are coming up, just so you know what we're all about over there. So for the month of March, just some basic statistics. Our door count was 3,808 people through the door. March is not usually one of our bigger months. When we get up to June and July, you'll see that go up by 1,000 or 1,200 people. That's kind of the trend of how it goes anyhow. Circulation, 8,319 items checked out from our branch. We had 24 programs and 225 people attended them. Our programming, we break it down by age groups. So we have programming for children ages 0 to 5, ages 6 to 11, teens are 12 to 11, adults are anybody over 18, and then general interest is just open to anybody. So there's a couple of pictures from preschool story time. Preschool story time and itty bitty bookworms are some of our most popular ones. The preschoolers are 3 to 5. Itty bitty bookworms is for people ages 0 to 2 and their caregivers. That one really ends up being more about the parents, so that, you know, parents with babies can come out and see other parents and get their kids into being part of the library. And so the top picture is from our bunny preschool story time that happened this Tuesday, and then the bottom one was Halloween, because cute kids in Halloween costumes is always a good thing, right? We had a costume parade and they went around the library and showed everybody their Halloween costumes. One of our other popular ones for older age children is Pause for Reading. We work with the Pause for Reading organization that brings in literacy therapy dogs, and they give the kids a chance to work one-on-one, or in this case, we had a couple of siblings that wanted to go with each other, and so that's pictures from this past week, from Tuesday. And that was Jack, the dog, who sat and listened to them read their books so that they're reading to a four-footed friend who doesn't judge them. It helps them with their reading skills. It helps them feel more confident. And the little boy in red is terrified of dogs, and so we're helping him with that, too, because he's worked up over the course of the last few months to being able to be sitting near the dog, and actually reaches out and pet the dog. And so that's a thing that we hadn't expected would be something we were working on at the library, but apparently it is, and so good. We're good, glad that he's okay. When he sees a dog, he's not scared anymore. We limit that to 8 kids, because that's a lot for the dog to deal with if it's more than that, and so whenever the registration comes up for that, it usually fills up pretty quickly. We do teen events. We have had, most recently, we did a teen murder mystery night. It was kind of based on an Agatha Christie train mystery sort of thing, and so we had teens who came in costume dressed like it was the 30s, and we had costumes available for them as well. And they had to solve the mystery, and they had snacks, because you always give teens snacks. We do world culture clubs where they learn about different cultures, and so one we did last fall was India, and I chose that one just because I like the pictures from it. The teens are kind of camera shy, so I don't have any pictures of the actual events. But the most recent culture club we did was Ireland. We also do arts classes. We do cooking classes. They did a pancake art night recently where we had pancake batter in little squirt bottles, and they made flowers and things. We had a couple of kids that were like, oh, but it'll be terrible. And who cares? You'll eat it. It'll still taste good, and you will have had fun making flowers and smiley faces. They have an anime cooking class coming up in May, where they're going to, based on manga and anime, they'll be making, I think they'll make ramen, basically. But so it'll be something to tie into stuff that our teens are really into reading. So that's some of the stuff that we've got coming up. That one's in the future. And they're doing macrame and friendship bracelets in April as well. So if you have any teens that want to learn how to do macrame, send them our way. Our adults, one of the most popular things we have is chair yoga. This, again, was pictures from this Wednesday. We do this weekly, year-round. We usually have 15 to 20 people show up for chair yoga. Mostly senior citizens, but it's open to people of all ages. So if anybody who wants to come and hang out can. They're working on, community is like the big thing for that one, and getting some exercise, working on their balance skills, and yeah, that's one of our most popular programs that fills up. Like, we don't really have the registration for it, but yeah, the room is always nice and full for that. Another thing that we do for adults is we have a number of different types of book clubs. We have a regular book club that meets once a month, but we have 2 dates, a Friday and a Saturday, so that we have the same book, but that way people can come. If you can't come on Friday, maybe you can come to the Saturday one. Back when everybody was in lockdown in the pandemic, our book club, we took it virtual and started doing it over Zoom, and it was so popular, the patrons who were coming to it asked us to take it being weekly at the time, because that was their connection out of their houses. They could check on each other. They formed a community that was really strong from that. When we resumed regular in-person programming, we took it back to being once a month, but we also kept a virtual book club. And so my adult programmer still does one virtually once a month, so that, again, people who can't attend in person, you can still be part of the book club. We also have had film club, and we've had book to film club, so like you read the book, you watch the film, you talk about the differences. And those are also very popular programs. Depending on the book, And depending on the time of year, we have 8 to 10 people that come to each of those things. You know, summertime it's harder because everybody's on vacation, but yeah, that's what the normal is. Some of our general interest programs, we partner with the Catawba Nation. Their wildlife biologist has done a number of programs with us. It started out with a program on mushrooms that we didn't think was going to be super popular, but it was like 30 people came to a program on mushrooms. It was very popular with the homeschoolers. It turned out that it was a nice science thing for them. And since then, he's done one on foraging. In March, he did Birding 101, and he did one about places of biological interest that were day trips away in the Carolinas. So if there was something, like, I think he talked about going to see the Oconee Bells that are up in the mountains, because that's the only place that they grow. And so that was something he did. And we also have the York County Master Gardeners that come in. And during the spring and summer months, they do Master Gardener Q&A. They just set up in the entryway of the library, and people can walk in and ask them gardening questions. They have also helped us with our seed library. We've done plant swaps with them. We do that usually in the fall. So watch for that if you have any plants that you'd like to swap out, come out, and that'll be it's a general interest thing that anyone can come to. So in short, that's the stuff that's happening at Lake Wylie. Please come visit us. We would love to see any and all of you. I know we're expecting Ms. Heining in May, but all of the board members, we'd love to see you. Public, please come away. Come to our events. We're happy to have you there.
Thank you.
Ray.
Yes, sir.
How do you explain the library hosting events like chair yoga and plant swaps to people who think the function of a library is to have pull books?
Well, we think the function of the library is community as well. Some of it does tie into literature, such as, you know, the anime cooking class. We're tying it into things, and we also always have books available, have DVDs available. The chair yoga, actually, this week, our virtual librarian, Carol, came to chair yoga, and then she shared with the chair yoga class about virtual resources we had on that. And she had 6 or 8 people stop afterwards to like have her show them on the computer how to get to that and do it at home as well. And so we're teaching people how to do things, teaching people, it doesn't matter if it's a book, it's still
when you limit education. People that can attend a class, is that limit based on staff availability of resources or on space?
Usually it's on space. And on what we reasonably think we can handle. So when we have preschool story time, we figure 15 preschoolers is about all that our staff member is going to be able to deal with and take care of appropriately. Chair yoga, we don't really limit that one, but reasonably we can't get 20, 25 people in there. It would be pretty crowded.
Do you keep a number of people who wanted to attend the program but were turned away because there wasn't room?
Kind of. Because there are waiting lists on anything that has registration, so I can see how many people went on the waiting list for it. That happens, again, much more in the summertime, but for preschool story time and for itty-bitty bookworms, that does happen, and so we could certainly get an idea of that. Our wait lists top out at, I think, at like 10 people, so if there were more than that, I wouldn't know that there were more than that. But
okay. Same thing in Rocket Lover. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, we all use the same software.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ray.
You are welcome.
Appreciate it.
All right, Director, do you have anything else?
Nothing else, sir. Thank
all
you.
Right. Moving on to the Treasurer Report.
It's in your packet.
Yes.
And again, we are closing in on year end. And I just want to give a summary because I know we got a budget discussion tonight. So let me just say that we are not over expended in any of our budget items for the year. Some are getting close, we're aware of that, but we have no items that we're over on at this point in time.
Very good. Do you want to discuss the budget in any way, shape, or form at this point?
I'm going to let staff do that for the agenda.
All right.
Okay. So there should be an updated copy of the
We got to do standing committees first.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Actually, we'll.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm sorry.
We'll.
I was just going to follow the agenda.
Well, it is in there.
Well, actually, it is under treasurer.
Okay.
So we can go with it.
Let's.
I'm cool, whichever one you guys want to go.
We can either do it there or we can go.
Let's do it. Let's.
Okay. So this is the latest version that was emailed out on March 24th with a couple of changes. There were no changes to the revenue section. The $9.217 million is still stands as our county appropriations, which includes our millage and delinquent tax income. The state aid appropriations, we have not heard whether there will be an increase, so we've maintained the same number as last year, the $706,160. We are estimating our fines, fees, and rentals income to be approximately $56,000 next year. And the other revenues for $139,200 include our Friends of the Library funds and our interest income on the money that is in the money market account. It does not include a possible retirement, South Carolina Retirement System credit, which we did receive last year for approximately $29,000. So it is possible that, that number might go up depending on the credit this year. So that gives us an operating revenue of $10,118,360. Under expenditures, salaries is by far our highest category there with $4.5 million. This is based on our current salaries and staffing with a 3.5% merit increase. A planned, as we've heard from county, that that may be the number that they're looking at this year, and we do follow county. Employee benefits is just over $2 million. We did have a slight change. This was one of the changes that I emailed out. We did hear from the health insurance company that there would be no load factor this year, so we were able to reduce our increase by 7%, so 0.07. So that put a little bit of money back in some other places on the budget. Our budget for books this year is $631,712. We did increase several of our nonfiction categories by 15%, and a general increase in most categories for books. Periodicals have remained pretty stable, so we've kept that number the same for next year at $35,915. Same for our audiovisual materials, which are our DVDs and our audiobooks. We believe those costs will remain pretty steady at $101,600. We did put a little extra funds into our electronic reference section, mainly because Hoopla and Libby have gotten so popular, and we are trying to maintain an 8-to-1 hold ratio on those books where we have no more than 8 patrons waiting for a book at any given time. Hotspots was not a change from last year, but it's indicated in red because we were hoping that this number would be more like 32,000 due to an E-rate contract. But again, with the uncertainty with E-rate and the FCC right now, we've decided to leave this budget item in there for contingency, assuming that we will be covering the cost of our hotspots. Microfilm and bindings are remaining steady at 10,000 and 4,000 apiece. Utilities, I did separate out, I think last on the first version of the budget that we went over, I had put internet in here and I went ahead and pulled that out on this one. So utilities just being things like our electric, our gas, our water and sewer. Those costs have not gone up this year as much as we anticipated, so I'm keeping that number steady at 138.6. Telephone and internet, this is a big jump. Telephone accounts for about 54 to 56,000 of this number. The rest is an estimate based on if, again, E-rate goes away and we have to provide our own internet connection for all 5 branches. We estimate that cost to be around $72,000. And then our Google Workspace, which has been provided by the Friends of the Library up until now, has to be split out and we will have to provide our own, so there is $16,000 in there for that. Our insurance renews every April, so we actually just paid our current year insurance bill, and it was about $67,000. We were really close on our estimate for last year. They did send out a memo that there will be a 15% increase on their premiums next year, so that increase is represented here. Our building maintenance budget, we had to remove some funds from here and shift it over to the internet and Google Workspace. So instead of adding $150,000 to this budget this year, we've been able to add about $112,000. But we are still hoping that we can get some major repairs done with those funds. Our computer maintenance budget is increasing this year pretty significantly. We are looking to increase security in Rock Hill, have some additional cameras put in place. We do have a SIP2 connection that we have to pay for our mobile app. And we are looking to replace our mobile laptop lab, which is outdated. Equipment maintenance, this number just has increased slightly based on actual costs, looking at about $46,000 for next year. Vehicle maintenance should remain about the same. Thankfully, most of our vehicles are fairly new and are under warranty, so we're well within those numbers for this year, and I think it'll be fine for next year as well. Supplies were increased by $2,000 because some of the supplies for the book preparation for the shelves, such as the book jackets and things like that, have gone up a little bit. So that was just a small increase in that number. Our marketing budget has been dropped back for next year because we last year had increased it for the development of the mobile app. So now that that's in place, we don't have that cost any longer. So this returns marketing to their original budget and pays for the app's annual fee. Our professional fees will increase next year fairly substantially because we are no longer under county's health insurance plan and we are our own insurance provider. There's an OPEB evaluation that has to be done, and we did receive a quote for that, which is I think was about $7,000 if I remember correctly, and that's in here, as well as the increase in costs for the CPAs for the audit. Our programs are coming up to $134,350 this year. That's actually not necessarily an increase. That's what was originally budgeted last year, which then had to be decreased because of the millage decrease. So we're putting some items back into our programming that we had to take out last year, including a really nice chunk of change for some author visits, which I think will be really good. Programs and services from grants and donations, that $90,000 is our Friends of the Library funds and the programs that they provide. Memberships are our professional membership fees. We're looking at a slight increase in the SC Lens membership, so that number is coming up to $46,500. Staff development and travel are lumped together. Travel is staying about the same. Staff development is coming down because we've been paying for a software for our annual reviews that is really much more robust than what we need, and we decided that we could move forward with something different this year and save a little money in that category. Last year, we also had put in additional money for the AEDs that were bought for all of the branches. And this year there also is about $2,300 in there for some professional certifications for myself. Postage, anticipating that'll remain about the same, $26,850. Security at Rock Hill, again, we don't see an increase in that category, $39,000. Capital outlay, we've increased by $5,000 to contribute to the vehicle replacement fund. I did a little bit of research on the books and did find that we have about $14,000 left from the insurance payment on vehicles that were totaled, as well as another $9,000 in a CD that was earmarked by the previous finance manager as vehicle replacement. So we actually have about $23,000 towards a vehicle replacement already, and we're adding $5,000 to that this year. Miscellaneous items are things like our bank charges and sales tax and other items that come up that may catch us by surprise. And we're keeping that number the same this year, $45,780, which rounds out the budget with expenditures of $10,118,360.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'd like to make a motion that we accept the budget as presented.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second? Nancy? All right, any discussion? All in favor, raise your hand. Looks like a done deal.
All right, thank you,
Pam.
Thank you.
Great job. to standing committees, policy committee. Any updates?
No, no meeting.
All right. Strategic planning committee. I know you all had a meeting a little bit earlier.
Yeah, we had a meeting prior to this, and you should have received a copy of the talking points. So if you weren't here at 5 o'clock, at least you can sort of see what we covered. Julie and I visited a few times together, and she showed me prior skeletons of strategic plans that were developed, some of the community needs assessments that were done, the information that they were able to put together in 2023 that Martin and Julie worked on, and that's available if any of you want to see it. But it gives us a starting point. So that was very helpful. And then Julie and I did visit with the county manager and the assistant county manager, primarily to see how we fit under the umbrella of the county management budget, what kind of guidance they might give to us in terms of where we should start this, how we should develop it, and that is what we are doing. We're taking their guidance and what they did before we look beyond and reach out in other ways. But I don't want that to be just something that we as the strategic planning committee are working on. So if you look at the bottom of the page that you were given on May 8th, we would like to invite you at 4:30 to attend a strategic planning meeting with us. So if all of the board members can come, and Julie was going to reach out to some of the staff to also attend, for us to be able to get a handle on what strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats, we can start with that. So we can work in goals. We can think in terms of priorities. We can focus on those things that we already know. Some of it may be a surprise. Some of it may just be reinforcement of what we've seen. But based on what we learned from the county manager and the assistant county manager, that's really where they started and found a way to get the foundation for the plan that they've developed. You've got, I think it's online. Mm-hmm. You'd be able to see what the county did in record speed. It's interesting to see the categories that they used. So if you can go ahead and put that on your calendar, and we can talk. If that's not a date that's appropriate, we can move it perhaps to the June meeting. But we really need the entire board's input on that. It shouldn't just be the three of us trying to approach this without your input as well. So the paper that I gave you for the first meeting, where we're going to try to develop some goals and determine priorities, is really the focus for that meeting. We think it would take about an hour and a half. It may not, so it may be that we can start at 5 again. But just in general, I think that's probably a good idea of how long it would take. So that's your invitation, and we hope that we can get started then with everybody on the board.
Good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. No old business, new business. Diane Ingersoll.
They're not here.
They're not here, is she?
No.
All right. We voted on
what
budget.
She was going to talk about?
She was going to give out a flyer and hand out a pen.
Hope she's not sick.
Okay, we voted on the budget. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I'd like to make a motion.
Go right ahead.
As a governing body of York County Library, first of all, I move that we as champions and defenders of York County Library send the following letter to South Carolina's U.S. Senators and U.S. Representative Ralph Norman, who represents the 5th District, South Carolina Congressional District. Dear sirs, as a governing body of the York County Library, we urge you to reverse the March 14th presidential executive order that seeks to dismantle the Institute of Museum and Library Services, IMLS, the sole agency, federal agency, dedicated to supporting library services in all communities. IMLS funds enable public libraries to provide critical resources for students, families, veterans, small businesses, job seekers, individuals with disabilities, and older Americans. Although they account for a mere 0.003% of the federal budget, these services are offered at no cost to patrons. Eliminating IMLS would have severe and lasting consequences for millions of Americans, including your constituents in York County. In 2018, Congress reauthorized IMLS with overwhelming bipartisan support, and President Trump signed it into law. The March 14th order is a direct rejection of that congressional decision to ensure universal access to library resources. We strongly oppose efforts to eliminate the IMLS and urge you to overturn the executive order while maintaining at least level funding in fiscal year 2026. Respectfully yours, the York County Library Board of Trustees.
Okay,
that's
my
motion.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
God, that's a surprise.
There's no second. The motion does not move forward.
Oh, it's disgusting.
Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
We've got a motion to adjourn. Do I have a second?
Second.
Got a second. All in favor?
Aye.
I think we got a done meeting. Thank you.